appreciate Brother Tom having us. I appreciate anybody that shares in the enthusiasm of Jesus Christ. It seems like we've got so many people that's interested in the world and the things of the world. And when I see somebody that's really endowed with the ability to do something for Christ and really has an enthusiasm, will always get, it always does me real good. Hallelujah. Now, we enjoy radio work. We preached on a number of radio stations in Mississippi and different states and cities. And God has always blessed us. We was on Big Gun Dixie done quite a bit of work on Big Gun Dixie out of Atlanta, Georgia. And also XCRF in Delville, Texas. A big, powerful station that hurls the message around the world. And we've enjoyed it. And to me, radio outreach is a great outreach, Brother Pete. It's a real privilege to be able to minister by way of radio if you're really genuinely sincere and you're not up there just trying to see how much money you can get out of people. So we're not after anything but Jesus. That's all we want. They have a little song, you know, take the whole world and give me Jesus. Well, that's the way I feel about it. The only thing is, why are you taking the whole world? Just let me have all the souls I can get for Jesus. And then you take the rest of it. And then when the Lord gets ready to redeem that, well, he'll get that back too and take care of that. Praise the Lord. Now, the world's not a bad place to live in. It's just the system. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him is not perish but have everlasting life, or that is to redeem the world. And God is wanting to redeem mankind and redeem our environment, Brother Pete. And one day this same earth that you're on right here is going to be a beautiful, beautiful garden, a beautiful millennium to where we can really enjoy life. Hallelujah. I don't think there's anybody that don't like life. You know, if anybody don't like it, I tell you, I really appreciate it. Somebody said, I just don't like living. Well, I tell you what, you can give me your part of the living because I like to live. Hallelujah. That's why I serve God like I do, is because he came to preserve life, to give us life and that more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing, to give us a life not of oppression and not a life of poverty, not a life of heartaches and stumblings and staggerings here, perplexities and bewilderments and fears, but a life filled up and overflowing in its greatest richness. A lot of times, you know, when a preacher gets up and he kind of pops the gospel whip, you know, brings forth a little chastisement, the Bible said it's grievous for the moment, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. But a lot of times when he's correcting like that, well, a lot of people despair, you know. And they get the wrong idea about God. They think that God doesn't want them to be happy, doesn't want them to have the fullness of life. But really, what God is trying to do is to cut the parasites loose from you by causing your life to conform to the laws of life, or the laws that protect life. Hallelujah. Just like out here, we got a law, you know, it protects us. Got a 50 mile an hour speed limit. We got a 40 mile an hour speed limit, and you can violate those laws if you want to, but it's going to be to your own hurt. But now, if you obey those things, well, they pretty well know what they're doing out there. And that's what God did. God just set up some laws to protect human life, or to protect our soul, and we'll just learn to conform to them and love the laws of life. My, how rich we'll be. Lord, of God, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Praise God. And we appreciate you coming out tonight. We are thankful for every one of you. God is no respect to person. And we're thankful. We appreciate our colored sisters here. And I don't see any colored brothers, but we appreciate them coming out and being with us. Now, while we was over in Grand Cayman and over in Jamaica, you know, the islands of Jamaica are predominantly colored. I don't even know that now. But you go into the bank, you get service, they're colored folks. If you go into the service station or the stores, or you go buy a dress, it's controlled by the colored over there, just like most of this area is controlled by the white people. And they are powerful, and they're in control over there. And some wonderful people. We were privileged to stay in some of them's home, and they treated us marvelously. We appreciate them. Now then, God is wonderful, and he's working and trying to help us. And he wants us to lift up a standard. Hallelujah. Praise God. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. All right, now then, I'd like for you, if you would, to read with me just a little bit right here. Reading out of the 11th chapter of the book of St. Mark here, I'd like for us to read just a little bit. In the 22nd verse right here, I said, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that, and those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Right, let's bow our heads for just a minute now. We'll try to talk with you tonight and not hold you long. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we're so grateful for this wonderful congregation of people that have come together, Lord, to hear the wonderful words of Jesus Christ. And truly tonight, Father, we're inadequate, Lord, so far as the purpose. And Lord, we come not to speak of ourselves tonight. Lord, if you said if we testify of ourselves, then our witness is not true. But Lord, that if we testify of him that has sent us, then there is no unrighteousness within us. And Father, we come tonight as thy servant to testify of the great King, Lord, and to proclaim the great coming and to herald the message of glad tidings, Holy Father, that we know that's on its way to announce the arrival of the great King. We know that Jesus Christ is on his way coming from heaven into this world. And Father, we want to be a part of his kingdom. And tonight I pray that you would bless these people, Father, to heal their sick bodies, Father, to forgive their sins, and through this meeting, Father, to revive their souls and their vision for Jesus and cause things to happen. And Lord, we're looking for miracles, Lord. We're looking for healings, and we're looking for you to reveal the lives of those that are in need, that we might be able to do something to help us. Oh, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you bless us. Amen. Now then, I want you to especially notice that the Lord Jesus Christ here, as he started into the city of Jerusalem, of the time drawing nigh when Jesus was to be crucified, and here as he goes into the city, the Bible said as he passes by this way, that he looks, and here is a fig tree, and the Bible tells us that he goes over to the fig tree to receive fruit from the fig tree. But the Bible tells us also that the time of figs is not yet. He goes there to receive fruit, but yet the time of fruit is not yet. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus came to this tree and he found no fruit on it, that he immediately cursed the tree and told the tree that it was to never bear fruit again because it did not have fruit when the master came to get fruit from it. And so then Peter was a pretty close observer. He kept watching these things, you know. He kept looking at them. And when this fig tree began to wither up from the curse that Jesus had placed upon it, then it made Peter realize the power of God within the Lord Jesus' life. He began to realize that this man that he was walking with and the man that he was talking with every day, that he wasn't an ordinary man. That there was something about this fellow that was different from all of the associates that he'd ever had. You know, there's something different about the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God, and there's something different about the Son of God. There's something that's different about a person that's got the anointing of God in their life. Because the Bible said at Pentecost, when Peter and him stood up, and all of these disciples began to speak the word of God with boldness, the Bible said that they perceived that these men had been with God. Hallelujah. They had been with Jesus, and they perceived that there was something in these men's lives that wasn't in their own lives. Praise God, I'll tell you right now, if people can't tell that there's something in our life that's not in their life, then there must be something wrong with us, because we need a lot. We're a city that's set on the hill, and the Bible said a city that's set on the hill can be hid. Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but the Bible said, hallelujah, that light, give light. And so then Jesus said, ye being the light of the world, then we're not to be hid. We're not to take this light and let it be covered up with worldly fashions and worldly desires and the things but the peak that pertains to this world. But we're to be a light for Jesus. We're to shine, hallelujah. We're to do something for God. We need to be about our Father's business, as Jesus said. If it's nothing but passing out tracts, if you can't pass out tracts, you can visit the sick. If you go over to a person's house and can't do nothing but make up a bed for them, or do something, a little bit of something, you know, to let them know that you got God in your life. You know, a lot of people don't like to go out of their way to do nothing, but that's the very way that you tell Jesus. It's when people go out of their way. Hallelujah. Glory to God, when you go out and you're ready to do something, that's when something, when people can see a light in your life. As long as you follow the same old trend of humanity and do the same old thing that everybody else does, you will never be a light for Jesus. But when you go out of your way and good, then the people can see something in your life and they'll begin to worship God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember a brother here among us. I won't call his name tonight, but I remember something that he'd done one morning, early one cold morning, and he did it. And I took notice to it, and I thought, my God, that man surely must have God in his life, because the very thing that he did, Brother Pete, was the thing that I needed to have done. And I was sitting there putting it off, and here I looked out the window, and here he was over there, had done that up, and almost had it done. Hallelujah. I said, my God, that's a man of God. There has to be something in his life to make him do a thing like that. Hallelujah. The Bible says, swear to your own hurt and change not. It's not easy to do that. You got all kind of grunts, got all kind of ills and all kind of complaints. And a lot of times, you know, we tell ourselves, we say, well, I want to do something, but Lord, you know, I'm getting a little bit old and I can't do it. You got somebody else can do it. Or we say, Lord, I got the backache, you know, and I got the headache, and I think I got cancer, and I don't know, I've got something wrong with me. I don't know exactly what it is, but I got something wrong with me. And we excuse ourselves from the duties of Christ. My God, folks, if the devil can get us to do that, he'll always give us some kind of deal. Praise God, you have to throw the pill bottle away and trust God and ask God to do something for you. Amen, that's what it takes. Amen. Every time that grunt and that ailment gets you, say, well, there's just one thing about it. I might have to grunt all the way, but I'm going to go right on and do it anyhow. God will say, why don't you fast a little bit? And he said, Lord, you know I want to fast. But the thing is, Lord, it just makes me feel so bad. Amen. Just go on and do it anyway. Go on and do it anyway. Like Peter Popoff said one time, or the son of Peter Popoff, he made a statement one time. He said, my daddy was always running into problems. He said, but somehow or another, he said, daddy always got the job done. He said, I said, daddy, had a good day. He said, I don't know, but God's going to make a way. And this son of his that testified, he said, consequently, God always made the way. God always made the way. Hallelujah. His brother Grady used to say this, and put a little pepper in his stepper. Amen. It'll make you want to do things for God. I count it a privilege to work for God. That's the greatest thing that ever happens to a person. I God, make that approach. This is the day of opportunity. My ladies, you won't never get to work for God no more. Now's your chance. Hallelujah. The Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Lord of God. Somebody said, but I'm too old for the pipe. I'm just too old. My land. Have you ever heard such thing? Somebody said, I'm just too old and I can't do it anymore. The Bible said when Moses was 80 years old, he went on an 80-day fast. Glory to God. Amen. 80 years old, went on an 80-day fast. It's hard to get me to do a 2-day fast. Amen. But probably we don't get too old. Somebody said, Reverend Pike, don't you know that we're too old and I don't have the strength anymore? Let me tell you something. The Bible said that Moses' eyesight hadn't waxed in. And the natural sources of his body wasn't even made. Hallelujah! Glory to God when the battle came over there. And when Lot needed the
Abraham. Abraham didn't get the grunts and the moans and said, can't do it. He threw his leg across the table and rode him like a young cowboy. And he went down and fought the battle. Hallelujah! And he brought the victory back. Amen. I said, I wouldn't want to testify anymore. I said, I just want to pout, you know. I wouldn't want to send a message, found too much fault with it, said too many things about it. I thought I'd just sit down and I wouldn't do nothing else. But about that time, the Holy Ghost came. I said, Brother Pike, you don't believe such things as the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, do you? The Bible said it was the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Holy Ghost moved upon the Old Testament. Amen. Glory to God. About that time, the Holy Ghost came. And he came up and right, and he said, it's like fire, shut the bones. He said, it was going home, okay? But he said, I just had to speak. Glory to God. He said, you're going to be as far as 70 bones. When Elisha took sick and died, now he had some grunts and he had some groans. He said, how do you know what like? Because the Bible said he took sick and died. When you take sick, that means you got some moans and groans. Is that right? I don't know where he died with cancer. I don't know where he died what you call a natural death. I don't know where he had a heart attack. But the Bible said he took sick and died. But it says he had a double portion of the Spirit of God. Glory to God, when they put him down in the hole, somebody come along and kill the fella and throw him down there in the grave with him.
Come back to the piano from Will.
gather you and the ladies of the organ up here. Praise God.
Thank God.
How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
I just feel something.
Thank God.